He hates
learning. He doesn't know why you're supposed to learn.
Who's telling you this? The base manager
guy? No, the high school boy is telling you, the base manager guy. Or the base manager guy is telling you, Brancher.
Well, the Brancher is telling you, everyone else.
He doesn't like learning. He doesn't want to learn. He hates learning. Why are you supposed to learn?
I mean, that's a good point.
Or he feels that the Gemara is cheap the way it comes up with all these answers. All the time they always come up with these, you know, they squirm their way out with cheap answers. So this comes up mamish all the time. I take liberties here at this. Because being a rebbe, like the things that have become most current in my mind are things that happened today. So, you know, you can't go over to my talmidim. They didn't do anything wrong. They're the high school guys asking these questions. And many of us, when we were in high school, assuming you're half normal, no one's more than half normal, because half normal is considered like Bedini. That's the tops you can get. It's like a line I saw. There used to be a ball player if you're a baseball guy. So there used to be a baseball player, Al Kaline. Al Kaline was a Hall of Fame baseball player, outfielder. Al Kaline. And he was an outfielder for the first baseman for the Detroit Tigers. And he was once playing at Yankee Stadium. So he was shagging fly balls in the outfield of Yankee Stadium before the game. And we need to shut that off.
That you can hear?
Okay. How do you shut this off?
Ask
Alexa to turn off the music.
Alexa.
Do you feel comfortable going inside?
Ask
my wife if she knows how to... Huh?
Just go inside and Alexa.
It may affect the recording. You're going to think like we went crazy.
It's very important. We're going to hear that part also.
I'm just going to start again.
No. Just tell my wife.
You have to edit it.
She knows how to do it.
We want me to cop it out.
Huh? So, I don't know. So, anyway, so... Al Kaline, Al
Kaline.
Al Kaline is in the outfield of Yankee Stadium, and a heckler is at Yankee Stadium, and he yells at Al Kaline, "Hey, Kaline, you're not half as good as Mickey Mantle." Little kid, 11 years old. So I screamed, "Kaline, you're not half as good as Mickey Mantle." So Kaline, listen to the humility and the genius, the humor and the wisdom of having the right answer. Kaline whips around and said, "Hey, kid, there ain't nobody half as good as Mickey Mantle." So, of course, I'm half as good as Mickey Mantle. That's considered a compliment. So, if you're half normal, which is considered a compliment, halavai, that we should be beating him. So, every one of us in high school thought at one point or another, we don't like learning, or not enough, or the Gemara's answers. I've heard this so many times. Not everyone. You may not be half normal. But for most people who are half normal, those were real questions. They didn't like learning. And some people even go so far as saying they hate learning. The Gemara comes up always with these cheap answers.
It'll never happen.
People say, he was talking to me, and he told me, I asked him a question. I heard this question from Moshe Chaitz. It's my first meeting yeshiva with Ben Metzia. So he gave a vod once on a Friday night, and he said, Leva Masis and Loki Bananas. You might just pick that example. Leva Masis Bananas. Why is the Gemara spending so much time teaching us why the Mishnah is not like bananas? That's bananas. That makes no sense. What are we doing that for? That's what he said. We're saying that.
We discussed that
here. And when I asked the question, I asked the question in Shir, since none of them had the audacity to ask it. So one boy answered that, come on, Rabbi, the Gemara always does lame things like that. Always does lame. And he brings me a raya. He brought me a raya. Because the Gemara says, the Gemara says that the Yachok in the Mishnah is Chalukki Chal Yosemis, and the second case, the Mishnah, is one takes 3/4, one takes a quarter. So that's not Chalukki Chal Yosemis. There's no way one person grabbed 3/4, one grabbed 1/4. So I showed him the Tosa Rush. Asked that Kasha. Tosa Rush, you know, asked that Kasha. And I showed it to him. And I said, B'li Neder, I told him, every time you have a Kasha, I'll answer it to your satisfaction. I told him. B'li Neder, this year, I said, you went through, how many years of your life? You went through 16 years of your life learning Gemara, it makes no sense. And you think no one answered your questions, but it probably means that he never asked the questions. He just assumed the Gemara makes no sense. But I told Lina that I'm going to try to answer every one of his questions. And somebody asked me another kasha, like, what did Paro do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong, so why did he get punished? They weren't committing an arias. You know, it's not arias, it was a sister, there's nothing wrong with it. And so why did he get punished? It's not right. He shouldn't have gotten punished, because they said it was a sister, so why did he get punished? So I had to show him that the Gemara should discuss that question. And the Gemara discusses why Avimelech got punished with Sarah. So I'm going to take on, even though it's going to be hard for me, I'm going to show him every one of his kashas. It's not Pshat, he has good kashas. So just no one ever answered them, or he never bothered asking them, because he assumed there were no answers to them. So, but anyway, the questions are quite normal. It doesn't mean that the guy's going to grow up hating Gemara. It's probably unlikely that he's going to hate Gemara. And what do you do? It has to be addressed. So what do you do with this very Spanish guy? So does anyone want to give their wisdom?
Is telling them...
Counselor Kemper Gooda. Yes.
It's kind of telling them to... meaning, one thing one thing I try is that when they say that they don't like Gemara, right, they don't understand it, they don't enjoy it, right? But then I say, what about that time you asked a good question? And then they admit that time they did enjoy it. So I try telling them that, like, imagine you have that feeling, like, more often. Is that a true svara, or is that just them, like, fooling them into thinking that it's just going to be more enjoyable? Maybe it won't be.
Yeah, we'll do analyze that, yeah?
I officially validate and say, like, don't say straight up, like, I was there a couple of years. It's not like it's crazy.
How do you
tell them you're normal. Then you have to say it's fun. You have to tell them they're normal, and it, a lot of it could be you tell maybe tell them a focus that they should focus on in down for days, and in a month from now, if they just cause that 10 times, you can guarantee the little base.
So I'm saying to validate, let them know that they're normal, that they're half normal.
I just asked that guy, that I wanted to do, like, the whole Rabbi mechanic thing with him. I didn't like Gemara with him. He just went through his God real.
Okay, that's a little...
You just go through the whole thing, and then you go through it, then you end up at Gemara. You just go through the whole thing, and then it's real.
By the way, what is the whole Rabbi mechanic thing? Can you give it to us in, like, 2 minutes?
Whatever, he, like... No, just a bunch of, how is it possible that, whatever, is how, first you start from, like, if you believe Hashem is real or whatever, then all the riots over there, which are obvious, and then if the Torah is even real, all the riots over there, and then how do you know that Hashem, whatever, that Judaism still exists, and it's still real, versus Christianity and all this other junk, and then you go, and then you go through that, and you really have to, like, prove it to whoever. It's a bunch of different models.
And then you take money from his father for learning.
And then learning through all the way down to the bar.
That
makes it real. Wow. You can talk about normal. I could get, I'm normal from, like, today till tomorrow. I don't think that would make a difference. Great, I'm normal.
That's not your job, though. Okay.
No, but it happens to be that you are... High school guy is extremely fortunate to have you as a chavrus, because most people cannot including myself, could not have given a verbatim Ed McCann unless you watched it online 15 times. But that's
he came once.
That's fantastic. No, he came a couple times, but no, but that's excellent. Especially if he's interested to hear everything he was saying, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. That you were saying to validate, but it's the ultimate validation. If you know, before you give him the speech, make sure if he wants to hear more, that's the best. That's the best.
The issue with that is you better know the speech well.
Say like, that's a sick question. Like, even though.
I mean, the issue with that is if you don't know the speech well.
Wait, I don't know.
It's all that's really fantastic.
So he's like pretty much automatically.
You know, we learned that for classroom management there are different techniques, but ultimately we hold that learning will sell itself. And
you're dealing with a bunch of people, though.
If you could somehow engage someone in learning, we believe that he'll be very intrigued. There's one of our, you know, Javier Amar doing QIV in UCLA. And UCLA, the guys are brilliant. They're just brilliant. So every one of them, to get into UCLA, you probably have to be very, very bright. And so there are people doing, you know, on these QIV campuses, and like they're starting out, these beginners doing like troubleshooting on like Yavamas. And they can't believe it. And just the idea is that, you know how many textbooks there are for different levels of mathematics from between fourth grade and, you know, professors? And yet in Gemara is the same Baba Mitzvah that you give to a Aschol's Gemara, fourth grader, fifth grader, is the same Baba Mitzvah for, you know, a Baruch Ber. Is learning from the same Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. So if you would walk in, you would not be surprised that you would walk in and see Reb Chaim Kanievsky learning above Metzia, Daf Ches. You would be surprised, you know, to see him learning. I'm going to be and Gemara show. He's learning. Okay, very nice. You wouldn't think like, oh wow, why is he learning Gemara? You know, Gemara Tosfos. That's not so shock to you. He's learning on a probably very deep level. But you also wouldn't be surprised if you saw a fifth grader with a Gemara above Metzia learning the same daf. And that itself is mind-boggling. There's a mind-boggling depth. And when people become exposed, now that's why it's very important for a Rebbe to be able to be well-prepared. You know, because you really... The more well prepared you are, the more rich the Gemara is. You can show him that he has questions. Like sometimes good kashas that kids ask get like flipped aside. You remind me like my first year in Miami. Forgive the humor, Rabbi Grunblatt. He was looking to become not the principal. So the deal was that I'll come as an assistant principal, and slowly he'll give me things and. Hopefully, I'll get one more experience. I'll become principal. So every year, he would give me one more thing. So the second year, he came. He says, "Okay, this year you're going to take over. In addition to your teaching Gemara and everything else, you're going to take over my twice a week Yedias HaTorah class that I do to I think it was seventh graders. Yedias HaTorah twice a week. So okay, Yedias HaTorah twice a week. I think after lunch." Instead of Bikias, they had twice a week Yedias Torah, twice a week gym. You know, gym period. Okay, so twice a week Yedias Torah. So Rabbi Grimlad, only Rabbi Grimlad could do this, he wrote a curriculum on Holocaust. So he wrote a curriculum and he asked me to do it. So I said, like, I'm not an expert in Holocaust, I can teach Holocaust. I know there were about 6 million people that died. And there were a couple of concentration camps, Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and I know. There was something with Poland. You know, Poland was in there, and they went to Czechoslovakia. I'm not an expert. I could everything I know about the Holocaust in terms of teaching. I could do it in like three sentences. So he says, "No, I wrote the curriculum here. Just take this curriculum and just like read it to them. I mean, basically, you don't read off the thing, but you know, and you expound on it." So I said, "Okay." So the first day, I did no preparation. I go into class, I have the, you know, the binder in front of me, and I say, the Holocaust really began in the early 1930s with the Treaty of Versailles. And then one kid raises his hand and said, what was the Treaty of Versailles?
Now, I probably knew.
Because you don't have to write that. Everyone knows that. I had no idea. I remember in high school learning something about it. I didn't remember. So I looked at the kid, and, you know, I had no idea. And I said, listen, if you're going to hock me up on every single word, we're not going to get anywhere in this class. That is not the way we prepare for class. And then, by the way, after the class, I took the whole binder, I walked into Agumet's office, and I hit it there. I'm not teaching you this, but I'm done. That guy became a Rosh Yeshiva. I know that. You know who that was. That's not for now. But he was. I never told him. No. He's a bunch of a mechanic now, but he's. He was a very bright kid. He wanted to know what Judy Vassar was, but. You know, he can't hack me up like that. Literally. But that's what happened. That's what Rebellion and some teachers write here also, that if you're not prepared, every time a kid asks a question like that, you know, what are you asking a stupid question for? The mother says, my parents don't bother me with that. You know, you have to be, you know, prepared. They ask good questions. And the best questions. You know, on the last sugya, I told the guys in my shir that everyone's going to, I can give you full credit for a bechina. How many tests do you give in a quarter? Three? Maximum, three. So I told him, I will count this as a full test grade if you could if you prepare any Mara Mokum on the sugi we did, which I did the sugi bananas, which is one question. Lema says no bananas. Then where it says, you know, topsy, low topsy, the difference, okay? It's a two-line Gemara. There's one little Tosfos on what the Gemara's Havamina was, and three Rashis, but there's so much there in what bananas hold, what an old. So I did the sugi with them. I think it took us two, three days. And I said, okay, now your turn. You can get full credit to say over any Mara Mokum on this sugi. So that's not that we didn't do on the page. You could do a rush, you could do a run, you could do a Nachas Moshe, a Yisab Bracha, you do a paragraph in the Masifta, you could do anything. So I took them to the, they don't know the difference. So I told them, I showed them everything. I showed them, you know, my Rams, one guy did a Mam Shif, one guy did a Poros Yosef in the back, one guy did a Rajba.
Is that why one of your dads asked to
learn
with me?
Yeah, probably. They were doing any Mara Mokum. And it was mamish unbelievable. They saw questions for the first time. They were motivated to understand what they were saying. They just had to get credit for reading the Mara Mokum to the class, teaching the class based on the Mara Mokum, and say over what he's saying, the question and answer. And I count it as a full test. So, okay, I think five of them did it. You know, and the other one said that they'll give it to me tomorrow. You know, they're still waiting. But that Rebbe must be very prepared. You know, when you learn with that high school kid. So okay, if like Moshe, you know, I mean, mechanic by heart. That's okay, fine. Most people can't do what you did, which was brilliant. But sometimes a very good thing to do is to really be prepared. You know, to be prepared. If assuming he'll learn the Gemara with you. And if a kid has no interest, then you have to send him to Moshe Shiller's table. But otherwise, if you can learn with him, and you're prepared to learn with him, you know, not just the reading. Okay, the reading is not, but come up with it, you know, bomb him out, ask him a kasha, you know, to tell him this makes no sense. How do you learn this? This makes no sense. Like, what would you do if you were trying to train someone who's learning, hearing a schmooze for the first time, yichazring a schmooze. This is what I would do to the guy. You know, you tell him, okay, what was the question? Like, it seems to be a simple question. You know, Yosef did this. Would Yosef do that? He tells you something. Start asking him bomb kashas. Don't say that. It's the opposite. Just bomb him out. Show me. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And, yeah, I don't know. And that, you know, you force him to say something. Oh, you have to say something. The guys in my share had no idea what the kamashmalans of the mori of the trichuses were, because the Gemara says, "Oh, why does it have to say if it just a mitzia? I would say mitzia. the guy would be more heter. And the mechamem guy won't be more heter, so you don't need a shura. Kamash balan, no one thinks about that. The Gemara doesn't say, so it's the kamash balan. A kamash balan, this is shura. I said, why? I don't know, that's what the wives ask. Give me a shura. But why? You just told me there's no need for a shura. Why does the Mishnah say you need shura? You're right, there's no more heter, so why do you need a shura for? And this is after they know the Gemara cold, backwards and forwards. So you're learning with a guy who's not trained, so you ask him that question. So why do you need a shura? So the Mishnah, yeah, you wouldn't know it, you're right. So the Mishnah teaches you have to make a shura. Why would the Mishnah say it's something stupid? That's a good point. Now you have so many different options. Well, maybe it's teaching you there is a Mori Vomar. Maybe. I think that's the most special job, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's teaching you, I don't know, a little plug. We want to make little plugs, because since it's why Mitzi, you want to do Mechamechra, I don't know. You come up with five different options. But if you don't think it through, then the Gemara makes no sense. And they deep down, they think it makes no sense. They're intuitive enough to think, oh, it makes no sense. So you're teaching that you say a thing even though it makes no sense. Commercial mind. Not always does stuff like that. You know? Right. So, you know, that is another way to be prepared. And even though you think, okay, well, why do they prepare? They could barely read Gemara Rashi. But their minds are much more than Gemara Rashi. Their minds ask the questions. And you have to be prepared for that. So that's why the simplest Haskolas Gemara Shir, I'll tell you, it's a little off topic, but it's on this point. So there's a whole debate on how to split classes. Do you split it homogeneously or heterogeneously? What does that mean, homogeneously? Homogeneously, you put all the bright kids and advanced kids in one shear, and all the weak kids in the other shear. Okay? And it's homogeneous. Heterogeneous is you mix it up. You mix it up, you know, just take so you put equal amount of, you know, learning challenge kids and advanced kids in the class, and you know, every class is mixed up. So that's a big debate. So I have this kuntres. If you're interested, I'll show it to you on your way out. So there's Reb Chaim Siegel Zatzal was the Rosh Masift of Chaim Berlin. And he was in Adam Gadol, and he has a kuntres on chinuch, and it's really fascinating tshuvas that he has. So he has one thing in Chaim Berlin. He said, for all his years, he had the shirim split by level, higher and lower, and then as he became more experienced, he says he's saying you should never do that, and he says he once had a issue with wanting to split a class, and he presented the Shaila to, I don't remember what it says there, either Rav Shach or Aaron Kotler. Probably Rav Shach, or Aaron Kotler was Nifter much 1961, so it's probably Rav Shach. I remember one of them. And Rav Shach said you should not split it by level. Why? He says if you split it by level, the lower shear invariably I'm going to feel like the dummy shear. That's what he says. He writes, everything's in Hebrew except the word dummy. But dummy shear. And additionally, he said, to teach a high shear, you have to be a gon. But to teach the lower shear, you have to find a gon shebagonim to be able to teach that shear. And where are you going to find gon shebagonim? That's what he writes. So therefore, he says you shouldn't split the shear. And that particular tshuva, I showed it to the I called the Roshiva because we had a situation here where, you know, now already like puzzle. Yeah, we're way past that, Charlotte, but back in the day when we were the first time considering doing that, so I called the Roshiva with this. I made a copy of it, I sent it to the Roshiva, and then I followed up with a phone call to discuss it with him. And the Rashiva told me, this is on the phone call with me, on the phone, he said,
which
one? Rabbi Leibowitz.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Rashiva.
Hey,
Queens.
How
are you doing? And, this was here in the early 2000s.
Oh,
and I called him, And he said like this. He read the tshuva. I want to show it to you. If you mind me, I'll show it to you. And I showed him the tshuva. I think I faxed it to him. And he says he agrees with the tshuva. He agrees that you shouldn't split it like Rav Chaim Siegel writes, but for a different reason. He says, because he writes that you shouldn't do it because the weaker shear will feel like the dummy shear. He says he thinks the weaker shear, if they're learning and it's better for them and they'll have more attention, he thinks that they can get over that. But he thinks the bigger problem is that the guys in the higher shear, they're going to develop gaiva from being the higher shear, and that you can't get over. Once you implant gaiva into those guys, says they're not a base keyboard for learning, and that's it. They're possible.
So Adam Yeshiva doesn't have this.
We have more on that point.
And that you can, he said you can never get over. And so what did we do? So we, it happens to be that after I asked that child, that Rabbi Grimlat said that we should split the class, but we split it 16 in one shear and 4 in the other. Right, Grimlat said that to do a 10 and 10, you know, to do it, split it differently wouldn't be good, but these 4 can't fit in. They would just leave the yeshiva. So when it's at that level where they can't be serviced any other way, he felt that was outside the psak of the yeshiva. So okay,
we relied on Rabbi Grimlat
to say, I'm pretty sure Rabbi Grimlat was in Queens already, but he told us that, you know, he thinks that taking those 4 guys out and having a special shear for them, but they were a special shear in the other direction. They were very, very, very advanced. They were like 5 levels higher than where they were, where anyone was, so they just couldn't stay in the same shear. He doesn't think he was already not grasping every single point, but he said he doesn't think the Rishiva grasped that part of the shayla, and he'll take a chayas that this complies with the Rishiva said. And in answer to you, whoever asked that question, like why is the yeshiva, do that? Because, you know, it really would be best if we didn't have to do that. But I think the feeling was that the yeshiva would not survive. We basically have to almost close the yeshiva. If we weren't going to service the new wave of how yeshivas were going, we wouldn't be able to keep the yeshiva open almost. So whether we're right or wrong, I don't know. It's hard to know. But that was the basics as far as like...
Won't the lower guys also bring down the higher guys?
You know, it depends. We were talking about assuming they were all equal Ashkafa. I didn't discuss anything with God, but that... that's a different question.
I feel like in the high school...
I was only referring to higher and lower in learning. That Ashkafa is the old big.
That's not really where
it might be, but I wasn't referring to any kind of, you know, distinction in where they're holding it in the Torah. Of course, that raises a whole different set of questions. But just in learning. So just in learning, if we could have, we eventually did, even before we started this, you know, the different yeshivas, we eventually did split, have a thing where we did it, we made that the higher share, even before all this, you know, stuff came up. And we felt we had to do it only because of clientele. That was what the predominant family was looking to see, so we really had no choice, we felt. So it became no shayla anymore. Like everyone says, okay, we're all leaving your school. So like Eska Shaila, should we split them or not? We didn't lend the splits. Half a zero is zero. Yeah, simple.
I feel like now it's more split Hashkafa than it is mental ability.
It happens to be that I don't want to comment too much on, just keeping check on time. I don't want to comment too much on current state of affairs because it affects too many people who are, might hear this, so I have to ask you off the air. That's not.
I'll cut it off.
I'd rather not talk about that.
I have no clue how to pop.
There are too many things.
Oh, maybe I'll cover that. I'll cover that.
And I was
That's not a shit thing, that's just I'm talking about, you know, the politics. There's no Tuvalus in there. It's just Yenting. So there's no Tuvalus in all that
next
stuff.
Owner.
Maybe the next owner.
Well,
that's just Yenting. But I want to talk about things that could really help you. You know, in being able to give over, you know, good kind of things. Someone said over here to say that it's normal. You know, you say I had some of that also. I would stay away from saying what you know. I don't think you need to do that so much. That you had the same feeling. It's enough to tell them that it's very normal. And many kids have that. You have to say I had the exact feeling a year and a half ago. I can't believe it. Yeah, I thought it was crazy too. I don't think you need to do that. You know, I know a lot of when they're starting out, you know, relate very much to the kids, and they think that they can. You know, I don't think kids will respond better because you say, "Yeah, you said the same thing." I mean, there is a, you know, yeah, you could say you're into sports. That's different, but to go through anything which is, you know, certainly things which are nogea, you know, isurim or averis, or you know, oh yeah, I used to go to, you know, movies like. I just say, like, for young guys, I would tell you, if you're not 100% sure, you know, you better off staying. I don't think it helps that much. It's like, it doesn't help them so much. It's enough to say that what you're doing is very normal. Everything else is implicit. If you're telling them it's normal, then they understand that, okay, so you're aware of it. So if you're aware of it, you know it exists, and you don't have to say I had the exact same thing.
What if they ask?
Okay, you have to know if you're a bal seichel or not. So a person has to know if they can trust their seichel to guide them. And how are you supposed to know if what you're saying is seicheldik? So, you know, if you have courage, you can tell somebody exactly what you said, and then you have to ask someone who you think is going to tell you the truth what you said. It's very hard to find someone who's going to tell you, you know, what you said is totally not seicheldik. So I'll tell you, at an RSA convention. By the way, I'll endorse Shua. He would tell you. I was at an RSA convention years ago. All the Mechafim came. The Rosh Hashiva's Atzar was alive and well, and he was at his best. And there was a Shas and Shuvah session for all Mechanchim. For those Shas and Shuvah session, if you can get a hold on those recordings of those, but I was there. And the questions asked there, so Rabbi Grimblatt was the moderator. Rabbi Grimblatt was he in Miami already? I don't know if he was in Miami already or he was in Kola. Well, he's probably in Miami already. I was not. I was still in Kola. And Rabbi Grimblatt was the moderator for the Shas and Shuvah session. And Rabbi Grimblatt got up, I was there, I heard him say this in all of its hystericalness, and he got up and he said, okay, we're opening up the session now for the awaited Shas and Shuvah session with Rishiva. And he says, okay, since these questions are being asked in public and they're being recorded, we ask everyone to please, if you're asking a question, to please exercise seichel before you ask the question, just because it's in public and it's being recorded. Then he sits down. Then he stands back up, waddling from side to side, thinking about how he's going to say this with a big smile on his face. And then I will do my best mimic. And he says, actually, anyone who needed that previous announcement to use seichel, it's probably doesn't have enough seichel to use the seichel, so just skip it. Anyone who needs the announcement to use seichel, it means they don't have enough seichel to use seichel without their announcement, so it's not shy if he's going to use seichel. So just skip it. Seichel means... Metav Seichel means almost. getting it right 100% of the time. Come on, 100% of the time. Like, Rabbi Yosha never got it wrong. Rabbi Moshe never got it wrong.
True.
On the things that required seichel, I told him he never got it wrong. It's like, you have to get it right. I read in a book once that to become a CEO of a company, you have to get it right. You know, you have to be, your score has to be near 100. I was talking to, there's a parent, a ninth grader, a guy, a parent that I became very friendly with, I forgot his first name. One second.
He's very friendly.
Minor, Steve Minor. So, Steve Minor, he's a great guy. So, Steve Minor was telling me that, the commissioner of Miami Beach, so he was telling me that in the old days, if you were at 60% completion, NFL quarterback, if you were at 60% completion, you were like all-star. Now, if you're at 60%, you get cut. 60% is not gonna make it anymore in the NFL. You know, they're looking for 80%. You know, much higher, and you know it's a whole different story. But to be a CEO of a company, your decision making has to be near 100. 98% of the time, you get it right. Now, not everyone should be a CEO of a company. You know, let's say you're not getting 98%. So that's a quality which, I mean, people don't realize it's not a front. The person doesn't get, like, it's very scary to make decisions. We had so many decisions to make. I could tell you one of them. What's the big deal? We move a decision to make. They say people want, but for the yeshiva dinner, should they bring in a singer to sing at the dinner? Okay, well, I don't know, a singer. You know, there are a lot of singers now. You know, whatever, Shrekki, I don't know, Shrekki, whatever, a singer. I don't want to say which one, because that is the point is not which singer. So it's not about which singer. It's he's a kosher singer. It's not a question on how good it is, but should the yeshiva spend money on bringing a singer for dinner? So there are different people said different things, and what's the right thing to do? Now, yeshiva has a certain integrity. That we don't spend money on foolish things just to look good, because everyone's doing it.
What about like all the videos?
Yeah, but no, people have less of a problem. Sure, people have less of a problem with that, because we're not trying to make money. We're not trying to make, you know, make it look good. That's just for the ruach of the guys, and that's for finach. So, I don't believe Rebecca. I assume that they got it from Rebecca.
I thought she was like Rebecca struggling.
So right. So no. So that's why. So that's why.
That's even a hot meter. Who needs a
no? Because there are people who are in the fundraising department say that they think that they can get another 50 to 100 people, couples, to come to the dinner, because young people just don't go to dinners. It's done. They're done with that. Don't do that. But if they're coming because there's someone that they want to hear, then they'll come. And okay, it also helps the yeshiva. So they say, we're gonna make money.
You
I don't know. It's a door thing. It's that type. It's just a door. It's a different generation of thing. I don't know.
So no, I feel like nowadays no one really cares anymore.
No one.
Like, people used to be so attracted to singers and concerts. Now nobody cares about.
Yes,
people have ADHD and they can't do it.
Yes, I myself don't know. So I thankfully abstained from the whole thing. So I thankfully abstained from the whole thing. But there's a war going on. It's like this. You have to during the day. Say, yeah, I'm in the situation. I'm in the situation room to watch the bombs flying between one department and the other department. Going on. But you know, to make that, who's gonna make the final decision? I have no idea who's gonna make the final decision. But whoever's made the final decision's got to get it right. He's gonna have to get it right. I don't envy. I don't envy it. I mean, Lubo's still trying to figure out why they're refurbishing the base management. I don't know. I think maybe a couple of tiles are cracked, but the rest looks pretty good.
How are they refurbishing?
I don't know. So I'm just saying.
The
people should know that. I want to say this point. It's an important point. I grew up not understanding this point. It's a very, very good point. Decision making is a skill. I don't feel bad that I can't, you know, win the 100-yard dash. If I go there, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to fail. Oh my gosh, I'm so disappointed. I didn't think I could win. I was never a fast runner. Okay, and I'm not going to win. I don't feel bad. So someone shouldn't feel bad that they can't get every decision right. What's so terrible? That's not your skill. You got other skills. That happens to be a skill, like a quarterback. He can see 9 receivers at the same time. I can't understand what that means, seeing 9 receivers. I don't even understand what that means. How do you see 9 receivers at the same time? I'm happy if the guy's coming at me. I'm happy if I can see where he's throwing the ball. I throw the ball in their face. You know, how do you see 9 receivers at the same time? But there are quarterbacks who can read the zone. You hear some of these announcers saying, and I don't know how they know what the quarterback's thinking. Watch this play, and you can tell that he's coming in, and you see how he. I don't say anything. They make all this stuff up. They can't see not one thing. But some of it's probably right. And some quarterbacks, Brady could probably see. They say, you know, 9 receivers at the same time. You know, so it happens to be a skill. So just the person has to know. If you want to make decisions, you can make decisions, but it's not necessarily the smart thing. Why should you make decisions? Who said you can make the best decisions? Go call someone who's a Baal Seichel. If I didn't make a decision, I'd call someone who's a Baal Seichel, who happens to be, and especially something like Nogia, if you Nogia yourself on something, don't try making a decision for yourself. That's very, very hard to do. You call someone else not Nogia, and what do you think? I call people up, the things that Nogia me, I call people who I think consider to be Baal Seichel, and I ask them what they think. And sometimes they tell me the opposite of what I thought I would have thought. I said, wow, you know, thank you so much. You know, and when I was looking for a position, the place I wanted to go, my number one choice, within 8 seconds of me presenting the Shiloh, he told me that's out. Don't even consider it. Whoa, don't even consider it. I was floored. Okay, I was saying on Giami, but so that's its own skill. A person could work on that. By the way, learning. This, I heard this from Rashiva Zatzal also, that a person learns and you see how Abaye thinks and Tosus thinks, the Marsha thinks, you learn how someone thinks that could build, it does build Seichel. A person can develop Seichel itself from learning. You know, that's amazing. I think it was Rabbi Shula Diskin. They say that all he had to do, he was brilliant, all he had to do was read, and he didn't learn anything from Achronim. He didn't do any Achronim because he only had to read one paragraph from the Sefer, and he could tell from then on all the he learned their way of thinking, and he knew what questions and answers they would ask all throughout Shas. So there was one sefer that came out, a Paros Yosef. It's in the back of the Gemara, and when it came out, so they told the Rabbi Shulah Diskin that this new sefer came out, Paros Yosef, and he told me, yeah, he saw a paragraph. He doesn't need to see the sefer. So they asked him one of the kashas, he says. So he gave 3 turutzim, so that's why it was a trick question. So yeah, what does he answer this kasha? So he closes his eyes and he says, well, he probably would say like this. And they say, yeah. And he probably would also say like this. And he said the second answer. And then he said, he probably also said this. He said a third answer, but it's not the answer that he gave. So they told him that he gives a different teretz. He wants to see the sefer. He says, "Really, really?" So he said a kapitel to him. He gave some money to tzedakah, and then he said the third teretz. it's in the book. Which book? I don't remember. But it's amazing, amazing maisa. So, you know, seichel you could learn. A person could learn. You could learn how to buy you things, how to rub things. You know, just from the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. A person could develop, you see how some people think. So seichel, the Rashiva said, you could, a person could develop seichel. So if a person thinks that he doesn't have, you know, he wants to have more seichel. Seichel means like in Yoni the Alma even. So to make good decisions, a person can, he may not become Tom Brady, you know, type, but he could become much better just from learning. Because, and the way they say that David HaMelech, the Rashivas, there was one shmooze, it's really cool, well, not one of the more famous shmooze, like, yet there's a Kalbach that no one knows, this is the shmooze, you know, this is one of those shmooze that, that is not as well known, but by Achish Melech Plishtim, so what happened? So David HaMelech went, when he was running away from Shaul, so he went to seek asylum by Achish. And all of Achish's advisors said, David HaMelech is here? Do you know who David HaMelech was? Yeah, he's in the Melech Yisrael, that's right. So, but they said, he's the one that killed your grandfather. Achish was Melech Plishtim, Gaius was Achish's grandfather. And he says, how could you let it? It's not right. So Achish Taka went, based on his advisors, and they started attacking David. He was going to kill David. So how did David get out of it? So he had to act like he was mentally unstable. And the Mefarshim, I forgot which Mefarsh, starts asking, you know, I'm mixing something up. He had to act like he had to act like a mentally retarded, right? So the Mefarshim asked, what did David do that he was being punished like this? That David, the tzaddik, has to act like he's mentally retarded. So the Mefarshim say because he did something that was midah k'neged midah. He did something that had no seichel. Because you don't go, if you're seeking asylum from Shaul, you don't go seek asylum by Achish, who you killed his grandfather. What do you think was going to happen? So, midah k'neged midah, he lost his seichel. So the Rashiva asked, what did David do so terrible? So he made a mistake. Like he said, he went to Achish. Okay, he didn't think he was going to go, you know, start taking revenge from his grandfather. So he made a mistake. What's so terrible? So the Rashiva said, if the Baruch Shalom gives you a talent, you have to use it. You have to use that talent. You have to use that skill. You have to use that seichel. A Kodesh Baruch gives a seichel, you have to use that seichel. So a person really should develop it. You know, we have to develop the seichel because you can't always ask shailas, but a person should definitely also know if he has blind spots, he needs to find out where those blind spots are, and then...
How do you find that out?
That's what happened to that I've been sitting in it. Well, I think I'm sitting on this chair. Yeah, don't worry about it. These chairs are all very brittle.
How do you find out the blind spots?
You have to listen carefully to your friends who yell at you. I'm not joking.
See, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'm rushing.
When people yell at you,
kill me.
When people yell at you, like you do something, what you call it, you listen to them. Jot it down, what are they saying, and then see if you can find a common denominator. And, you know, you say, okay, I that's my weak spot.
What are you talking? What did the seichel...
It's a weak spot. Huh?
What was the seichel? How did that relate back to what we were saying?
Like I'm just saying that people have different...
In regards to talking to a high school about Gemara.
Yeah, no, I was saying that it started out with saying, like, people want to say over what they did when they were young. And, okay, if you have seichel, so, yeah... If it's very innocuous, but then you have to really trust yourself that you're saying something innocuous. So, okay, you have to know. You have to know when you can trust yourself. Right? Don't trust yourself so much when you're younger. It's better to bounce. It's better.
Not about saying.
Well, you have to. You bounce it. It's good when you're younger. Just bounce it off people. It's okay to say this and this. I used to ask, you know, questions all the time. What's okay to say? What's not okay to say? You know, that is it's very wise to do that. So Okay, yes.
If you're a high school guy, like, absolutely refuses to lose, or he's not interested, so is there ever a time to, like, push him very strongly, or if you hog him and hold that hole open on them, probably want to learn?
You know, it's probably never good to accomplish.
You push very strong,
man. No. How the
yeah. Okay, guys. Well, I want to officially call it to a close because I don't want guys to have to be messed over the whole day tomorrow.